Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
All right, here we are. Good morning. Whew, frosty out there.
You gonna be okay?
Yeah, no.
Who left the fridge open?
I love this kind of weather.
It's supposed to warm up later today, right?
It's supposed to be 70 by next Tuesday.
Really?
Yes.
That's kind of extreme.
That's, well, I don't mind that. Let's warm it up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, warm it up a little bit is one thing. You know, 55, sunny. Yeah.
60.
70 is a little bit.
Yeah. You can mix in a 70 every once in a while.
All right, well,
mix it, mix it just every once in a while. But yeah, a little frosty. I had a low of 7 when I was coming in this morning.
I didn't even look.
Didn't even look?
Nope, didn't even look. The old thermometer.
I looked at it.
Yeah, you did.
I liked it. And then you got some spots on the roads where it's still a little bit of icy condition. So, you know, just be a little bit careful as you head on out this morning. We're looking for some of your Broncos Chiefs leftovers. You know how it works. One or two topics of conversation tend to dominate in the immediate aftermath of a game, but maybe some other observations that sort of slipped through the conversation yesterday that you want to discuss and weigh in on. Hit us up on the RummelSlot.com text line, 303-713-1043. Did Vic Fangio leave the door open to perhaps changing the look, the philosophy of this offense?
Possibly. But, you know, some of those times you're in those groupings because of the situation, whether it be third down, whether it be you're trailing, et cetera. So I know we've played more three wides than the other groups, so the numbers will be higher. But, I mean, you make a good point. You know, we've had too many negative plays in that personnel group.
And here's further.
We should hire, you know what we should do? We should hire Wrinkles. Rich you probably have never heard this guy. His name is Rich Scangarello. Probably ought to go back to him.
So, our pal Leggy, Jeff Legwald over at ESPN.
Uh-huh.
He wrote yesterday, in the first 15 snaps alone, when the Broncos were in a three wide receiver set on Sunday, they allowed 2 sacks, had an interception return for a touchdown, lost a fumble, and had an intentional grounding penalty. For the season, in the three wide receiver grouping, the totals are now 13 sacks allowed, 10 interceptions, 3 fumbles lost, and just 3 touchdowns scored. Vic Fangio needs to step in and say, Pat, we're changing things.
You know what's interesting about that, Mike? This is a problem that we have had, and this is where, you know, when you, and I always tell you guys this, when you go spread offense, you're spreading your offensive line as well. You realize that, right? You're putting 5, you're into what you call, you know, a 5 or at best a 6-man protection, right? If you use your back to, and we always talk about chips and slides and all that, you know, all that stuff. But the bottom line is a couple things. You spread them out, you eliminate some of the things that you have to cover as a defense. You know, you eliminate how easy it is to get double teams on the edge with tight ends and where the slide is coming from. You can disguise it. So you know that if the back is on the left-hand side of the quarterback, as a defense, you know, well, the slide's going right. The back can only chip on this side. He's not going to usually cross the formation to chip on the opposite side because it puts him in a bad position. So you understand, you eliminate things for the defense. They're like, okay, I'm one-on-one over on this side. Or the slide's coming to me, I've got to just avoid the chip of the back. Like, you start to understand. As a coordinator, you know, okay, if the back is on this side and it's a throw, so they can slide to the right, we can chip the left for the left tackle. The left guard is the one guy on one-on-one. How do we beat him? What's our best matchup? Who's our best interior off the defensive pass rusher? Like, it becomes so easy. And this is exactly why they ended up firing Mike McCoy after 6 weeks.
Bingo.
Or whatever it was.
Bingo.
I mean, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same damn thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result.
Right down to again, I'll give Leggy credit, right down to him pointing out, being among the first to point out how much struggles the Mike McCoy offense had when they were in a three wide receiver
set. It's the same thing. Like when you get into, or if you're the Chiefs and you got two lockdown offensive tackles and you're really built well there and, you know, you got a quarterback when things do break down that will make plays, make the right plays, it's a different story. But you have never had that here. I'll give credit where credit's due. You know, I get a lot of people that point the finger. Oh, you never wanted to give Garrett Bowles. Like, now he's playing and you've flipped over. Well, yeah, because now he's playing well. For 3 years, he was garbage. Garbage. He's playing well. I applaud him. He got in the GB zone. I'm looking to try to get in there. I mean, the velvet ropes are keeping me out. I'm out of the GB zone. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being honest. I'm okay with telling the truth.
Boy, all this talk of slides.
Yeah?
Got me thinking.
It's electric!
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know what?
When you start talking about slides, slide to the left. See the slide coming this way. Avoid the chip. Get to the slide.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, and when you do it right, you know what it is? It's electric.
It's a baby.
Boogie woogie. Woogie 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 woogie.
Now, for you listening right now, you're either like, oh, God bless you guys. Thank you. This is exactly what I need. Or you're absolutely cursing us because this is going to be in your head all day.
I like
boogie,
the part.
Boogie woogie woogie woogie.
I like the part when they start talking fast and you just kind of sing along and you have no idea what it says, but you just make up words.
I like that Mike Evans is bobbing his head and biting his lip.
Yeah, it's kind of sexy, isn't it?
I tell you what, you're going to need an ice bag for your neck.
Oh, yeah. I can't bob too much.
You kind of don't bob your head. You just kind of, your whole upper body bobs.
If I bob my head too much, there's a good chance I might just fall over.
Yeah.
That's like an orange and a toothpaste.
All right. We're off and rolling. Give us your hot takes, your observations, leftovers from the game. Ramoslaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. And coming up, with all the conversation I heard yesterday about Drew Lock, I got to ask, have folks forgotten about what was talked about during the long, long, long offseason? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, we'll get to some of your leftovers from the Broncos and the Chiefs. Vic Fangio yesterday talking about what he needs to see better and more from Drew Lock.
You know, he might be pressing. I don't know. You'd have to ask him that. But and I'm sure he is to a certain degree. You know, when things don't go good, you press. And particularly when you're a young quarterback and you don't have a lot of reps, a bank of reps to fall back on how to get through some negative plays or stretching a game where it's not going good in the passing game. So he probably is, but that's probably natural too.
Yeah, natural. And I'm listening to all this talk yesterday of people just burying Lock, saying, nope, not the answer. Gonna have to move on, find a different quarterback. He's not the guy. Can I go back just a few months? During the long, long off season, and what was the widely held assumption by everybody? Hey, this isn't an off season that's going to really hurt this Broncos offense. It's a young offense. It's a quarterback that needs more reps. It's an offensive coordinator that's new. It's going to be rough in the early going of the season. Expect it. And people are like, yeah, I expect it. It's going to look rough. And the hope was that as the season went along, the offense would look better. So that by the end of the season, there was a sense, okay, this thing is looking the way that we hoped it would. we are just a couple of starts for Lock and this offense.
into the whole process as he comes back from getting hurt. And people are like, yeah, I'm done.
Well,
move on.
See you later.
Did people just forget what they said, what they agreed to during the offseason? What did they think, Stink, that, yeah, it's going to be slow, it's going to look a little rough early on? What did they think that was going to look like?
Better than it looked.
Well,
they thought that you would be competitive. You know, again, you were sold this bill of goods that now that you have speed, now that you have, you know, people outside on the perimeter, now you can match player for player with the Chiefs. And, you know, the whole thing, we had a better defense than them. The whole bill of goods that you've been sold, and you just expected, I think you expected better offensive performance. You were told that the problem with this offense was that you didn't take enough shots downfield. That's the problem. And now that we have a coordinator that's going to take shots down the field, and now that we have speed, and now that we can match up with the Chiefs, and now that, you know, now it's going to be great. Now here we go. Now we're ready. And, you know, and again, that was the narrative that was sold to Broncos country. And if you listen to us all summer long, you're like, no, that's not how football works. It doesn't work that way. But, you know, you get excited about it. You get giddy about it. You think that you're going to match up with the Chiefs. Guys, the Chiefs did nothing offensively. Nothing. And credit to the Broncos for being able to shut them down for the majority of that game. They did nothing, and they still lost by, you know, almost four touchdowns. What was it, 27 points? 43-16? I mean, you know, what you were told and what you saw on display was amazing. So, and here's the thing. Like, when you start losing on a consistent basis, you know, everybody wants to change Tom McMahon and say, well, he's not good. It's Tom McMahon. Special teams coach. Well, he's not good. We got to change that. You know, now, I mean, Vic Fangio's even saying, well, maybe we have to reassess what we're doing offensively. Well, you're the one that wanted it. You're the one that fired the coordinator and said, he's not good enough. Let's get somebody who'll stretch the ball down the field. Like, the change at a whim organization, the lack of stability at this organization, from this organization, the lack of saying, this is what we are. This is where we're going. Here's our plan. Dude, you are like, you know what you are? You're on the Waze app. You ever been on the Waze app?
Yeah.
I go to LA and my daughters will get on this Waze app and we'll be cutting through a neighborhood over somebody's driveway, through their roses. You like, you know, take a left here at this guy's driveway. They cut through the backyard of the next guy's house. And you'll avoid, you know, you'll be 30 seconds closer to your destination. Like, it's ridiculous. It takes you all over the place. And I'm like, what do we say, 4 minutes? And it was nothing but, like, I'm like white knuckle grip on the steering wheel because you're going all through everywhere. Like, I'd rather just get on the highway and sit. I mean, like, well, enjoy the scenery. Listen to some music. Maybe have a conversation instead of having Waze yell at you the whole time. We are the Waze. That's what we are. We're on Waze. Wait a minute. That coach isn't working. This special teams coach doesn't know what he's doing. That offensive coordinator sucks. You know what? And the next thing you know, you have zero. You wonder why you have zero direction? That's what you are.
Did people forget what they were saying during the offseason, what they agreed to? I guess the idea was, okay, your point. They thought they bought into the idea that there'd be, you know, more speed and whatever. Okay, so then your thinking was what? That this offense, instead of scoring 19 points per game right now, would be scoring what? 23 points per game? And then once they got continuity and gel and all that other stuff, they'd be what, 28-29 by the end of the season? Is that what you were thinking? Because what I looked at was
Yeah, I agreed with the conversation that everybody seemed to agree with, that, yeah, this is going to take some time. No OTAs, no mini camps, not much of a training camp, no preseason game. Everything was done virtually. You know, it's going to take a while for this offense to find its footing. So my thought was, okay, in the early going, it's going to look rough. Maybe you're averaging 18, 19, 20 points per game, but my hope is that by the end of the season, this is an offense that's scoring 24, 25 a game. Okay? So it's like when the schedule comes out and people just casually throw out a record. Yeah, I think they're going to go 7-9. I think they're going to go 8-8. I think they're going to go 6-10. I think they're going to go 9-7. Well, what do you think those losses that you're so casually predicting are going to look like?
Right.
Are they all going to be like really good, feel good losses? I don't know. It struck me yesterday that it's like, wow, all throughout the offseason, people bought into the idea that this offense was going to struggle. But now that it's actually happening, people are losing their minds and are already like ready to, you know, wash my hands of this. Get rid of the coordinator. Get rid of the quarterback. This guy's a bust. This guy can't play. This guy was overpaid.
And then there's the, well, you know, we haven't been able to keep Philip Lindsay healthy, and Cortland Sutton tore his knee, and Von Miller tore his knee, and just this 2020, guys, every team. Like, I know there's a lot of people with their lips hanging right now. Like, oh, woe is us. Every team is going through this. I mean, I called the Raiders game yesterday where their whole offensive line got sent home for the week. And they were cleared Sunday morning to come back and play. I mean, can you imagine going through and you're playing Tampa, one of the best blitz, fastest defenses in football, and you've been sent home for a week. No practice on this team. Now go. Dude, life ain't fair. But guess what? Everybody's playing under the same rules. And this is where we find ourselves.
Well, this isn't even about excuses for me. This is just about the patience shown that everybody seemed to sign up for. And now everybody's like abandoning ship.
Because you don't expect,
way too early.
You don't expect to hold Patrick Mahomes to one TD and 200 yards and still get beat by 27.
I get it. But when you say, yeah, I expect the offense to struggle for a while. Well, what do you expect? What's your definition of struggle, I guess?
They think two or three games and then they're back on, then they're on track.
All right. We got Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco insider, joining us coming up in about 20 minutes. Morning Brew is coming up. Is there anything more to make of the Vic Fangio-Shelby Harris tiff? That's next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. That's some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
Many times, you know, this first look in there, I think his natural reaction sometimes is to flush out of the pocket. You know, sometimes he needs to stay with the progression of going to two or three, a little more than he has possibly. And the only thing we're doing to try and correct that is continuing to work on it in practice.
You know, we see Locke a lot rolling to his right. And he's good at throwing on the run. But the downside to that is it does make all your reads now a half field read. It condenses the field, limits your options. So what you see is it, are they design rollouts, design calls, or is this somebody who just at the first sign of heat bolts, and that his biggest challenge is just stay in the pocket?
Yeah,
I read the whole field.
There are plenty of opportunities. Are there plenty of plays that are designed to get him outside the pocket, to create that half field read, to create those easy throws? And Mike, honestly, you run the ball well, those become very easy throws. You know, where you have a like a tight end pinning down the edge and then releasing into the flat, right? Down flat. Brian Greasy was talking about it last night with the Rams, a little down flat route. So they're very easy. Those are very easy throws, very manageable, like very manageable throws. And you try to design, honestly, this is the way you protect your offensive line. Can I design six of those or seven of those, like where you're 8 for 8 or 7 for 7 in those situations? Because now all of a sudden, if I can do that and I can keep drives alive and I can keep us in, hey, now all of a sudden it's second down and 2. My whole playbook is wide open. Now,
then you can run a flea flicker.
Right. Then you can run a flea flicker. Second and 2. Right. So I'm a believer. Love that play. I'm a believer, by the way, because this is the way I was raised in football through Joe Gibbs and Mike Shanahan. Second down and 2 is not let's chuck one deep and see if we can get a good play, a big play, or get a PI. Second and 2 is let's lean on these suckers, right? Let's beat them up. Let's convert and let's make them stay on the field. But, you know, in today's game, right, that's not how you get a head coaching job. And I said this yesterday. It looks like Pat Shermer's trying to get himself another head. You're not getting one. Stop it. Hey, here's the deal. Why don't you just concentrate on being a great coordinator?
Yeah, ask Mike McCoy how that worked. Next on the Morning Brew.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had a great talk after the game, and there's no issue there.
So Vic Fangio says nothing to see here after the sideline spat with Shelby Harris. You ever get into it with a coach?
Well, my line coach, yeah. Sure.
But the head coach, you ever get into it with Gibbs or Shanahan?
No. No, are you kidding me?
Shanahan terrified you. Gibbs terrified you.
No, I was scared of both of them, yeah.
I mean, they give you that eye and you'd be like, never mind, coach.
Yeah. I did one time. I mean, I had plenty of sideline altercations with Alex Gibbs.
Yeah? Anything you can sanitize for radio?
Well, yeah, because...
What would they typically sound like?
Well,
what would the average Mark Schlereth, Alex Gibbs spat sound like?
He'd be cussing at you for something that he saw on a Polaroid that was snapped 7 seconds before the ball was actually snapped. And be screaming on, how do you miss this? That's not what happened. Yeah, it is. It's right here. Dude, that was snapped 4 seconds before the ball was, like, it's not what happened. It is. And you know what? When you get your grade sheet the next day, because you'd be back going back and forth, you get your grade sheet the next day, he wouldn't say, I'm sorry. He'd just go, you're right. He'd go, hey, man, I'm sorry about yelling. Yeah, you know what? You were right. He's just like, yep, you're right. But there was one time, and this guy's honest truth, that we were going back and forth. I was so sick of him. He was screaming about something. They had no idea what actually happened. And back and forth. And I had my helmet in my hand, and I tried to break his sternum with my helmet. I hit him right in the chest. I go, if you think you can block him, be my guest. Then he gave me the, you know, proverbial, you know, up yours, and walked away. Yeah, he was 160 pounds. He's like, it's like hitting Ben in the chest with my helmet.
Way to beat up on Millennial Ben there.
I know. But yeah, we had those conversations. Yeah, those things happen all the time.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Snap to Foles. Back to throw. He hitches. He unloads left side and going airborne to intercept is Jalen Ramsey. Right on cue. Out of bounds at the 35-yard line. Ramsey sat on that route, and he beat the targets of the football.
Monday Night Football, Rams radio right there as the Rams dominate the Bears 24-10. Ooh. I guess Nick Foles, unless he's facing a quarterback, or unless he's facing a team that has Tom Brady as its quarterback, he's just not the same guy, is he?
You know, Trey Wingo, our friend Trey Wingo, posted kind of a QBR rating thing between Foles and Trubisky. Like, they're identical. Identical. Yeah. Bears. Although the Bears came in that game, they're still 5-1. They're defensively
5-2. Yeah.
They are now 5-2. Yes, but going into the game, they were 5-1. But I will say this: like the coaching of McVay and attacking that Bears defense and really putting it on them, like where like Tampa really struggled with that, you know, putting it together with the Bears defense. That defense is legitimate. And they pretty much walked through it last night, and they ran the heck out of the ball. It was an impressive. That part was an impressive.
You know, you talked about this with McVay, that, you know, that all this talk about how he's like some, you know, boy genius that's revolutionizing the game. You continually say, no, it's not that at all. He's actually right out of the old school, you know, Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak playbook. You want to talk about balance? Balance? They threw the ball 33 times. They ran it 34.
Yeah.
Not bad. Next on the Morning Brew.
Two balls, two strikes. Seager hits one in the air to right. This ball is crushed and gone. Corey Seager with another two-out RBI as he circles the bases with his eighth home run of this postseason.
Fox Sports there with the call. The World Series could wrap up tonight with Game 6. The Dodgers up 3-2. Mark, as this World Series has played out, have you found yourself sort of coming to respect the Dodgers? I mean, they're the Dodgers. They're the Rockies' daddies.
I don't know.
But maybe it's not flat-out hate when it comes to the Dodgers. Is there almost a grudging...
I like the Dodgers.
Admiration for the Dodgers growing?
I like the Dodgers. I don't feel about the Dodgers like I feel about the teams in, you know, the AFC West that I played against. Like, I don't have the same level of sports hate. And I've said this a million times. You know, I got Raider fans crying.
Oh my goodness.
Floating in a tier of rivers. Ooh. Like, I am bathing in Raider fan tears.
Yes.
Like, they are, I didn't realize what a bunch of whiners.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Raider fan is. I guess that it's just they haven't had any success for however many years, and they thought maybe this was their year, and they beat Kansas City, and they did a great job beating Kansas City. But, you know, I mean, everything has to kind of line up for the Raiders. And listen, man, whatever. But boy, I tell you what, Raider fan, a bunch of crybabies.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Coming up, our 9 News Bronco insider, Mike Kliss. Did Vic Fangio leave the door open yesterday to a change of offensive philosophy? That's next. All right, let's say good morning to our 9 News Bronco insider, Mike Kliss. He is presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Good morning, Michael.
What's going on, guys?
You know, we're just chopping it up, Michael. And I will tell you this, you know, Vic Fangio talking about, you know, the three wide receiver sets and the lack of, it feels like Mike McCoy all over again, the lack of production in those sets. What's the change? What are they going to do to help, you know, help young Drew Locke and help fix this offense?
I was looking. The only problem is, you know, on third down, It's hard to have Nick Vanette out there on, you know, on third down. You've got to go with the third receiver. So yeah, you gotta figure it out on third down. I was just going through Drew Locke's splits here because it seemed to me like he had guys open on third down and he just missed them. You know, I thought he had Noah Fant there in the first quarter and he sailed it wide. He had Melvin Gordon open on third down, and he sailed the ball on him there. And sure enough, Drew Locke on second down is completing 74% of his passes. His passer rating is pretty much 100. On third down, he's completing 34% of his passes, and his rating's 26. And it's not the third and longs either. He's 1 of 9 on third and 4 through 6 yards. So those third and mediums, third and shorts, He's not getting it done there. So somehow you got to coach him up on third down. The two tight end sets and the three tight end sets are fine for running the ball, but you got to get it done on third down. That's the pressure. That's when defensive coordinators dial things up, and that's where Drew Locke is having problems. He had problems on that against the blitz. Spagnuolo threw him a little blitz. He hurried it to Noah Fant in the flat. And it was a lazy pass out there, and Sorensen took it to the house. So, you know, that's where Drew Locke's, that's where quarterbacks make their money is on third down, and that's where Drew Locke has fallen short.
Mike, is any of this unexpected from the standpoint of the Broncos? Did they expect this, or is there a growing sense of disappointment right now in what they got from are getting from Locke?
You know, before the season, you heard John Elway said, you got to stick with Drew. He's going to have bad games. It's going to be up and down. But once you're living in it.
Right.
I think you're disappointed. I think you were hoping for more. And guys, I think we talked about it last week. I mean, when they beat New England 18-12, but I thought that two interceptions in the fourth quarter when you're up 18-3, that should have been way more concerning than it was. And I guess winning, it's true what they say, it cures all ills. But you can't do that when you're up 18-3. You can't throw two picks on back-to-back passes. Those were game-losing throws. They just happened to not lose. So I think, I'm not sure. I do think they want, you know, the coaches to figure out how to get better play calls for Drew, things that he can manage, on third down. Right now, it looks like Drew looks deep first rather than, you know, the short. And you heard A.J. Feeley talk about that repeatedly during the broadcast. He looks deep first and, you know, and takes him a while and before he checks down to the intermediate and the open guy on the check down.
Yeah,
maybe somehow, some way they got to coach him up to take the easier completion.
Or maybe somehow, some way they need to, do what they're doing on second down, you know?
Yeah.
Anytime you get into three wides and you spread people out, you know what? Defensive coordinators say, well, we don't have to defend the run anymore. You get out of those formations where Drew Locke is having success and saying, well, now we only have to defend one thing, and that's the pass. And so we can bring that pressure. I would tell you the other thing is, you know, from a play calling standpoint, you go back to that New England game. You run all verticals. Drew Locke, there was no check down. You ran all verticals out of that set. So you ran four verts. You're basically telling Drew, hey, we're going to chuck it deep. And that's what you said in the offseason. That's why you fired Scangarello. So at this point, this falls back on Vic Fangio. Get control of your team, set a agenda for what you want to be, and then, damn it, make people stick to that agenda.
Yeah. You know what else I figured out? First and 10. They've all, Locke's only attempted one pass. That tells you that there's a bit of a predictability with the play calling.
Mm-hmm.
First and 10, they're running the ball. Maybe they need to mix that up a little bit too. So, some of this is, what we're doing right now is making some excuses for Drew Locke and, I think it's okay to put some blame on Drew Locke here. This is the big leagues here. And, that's one thing that I kind of had the sense, and Mark, you went through this with your son. You understand in baseball, there's minor leagues where, you know, the young guys got tools, the young guys have potential and talent. But they need a couple more years in the minors before they're ready for the big boys. And that's the kind of the sense I got with the Broncos offense. You know, maybe it was KJ Hamler. You know, he's got a lot of talent, but he looks like he needs more seasoning before he's ready for Sunday. And that's the problem that the Broncos have on offense. That's the way it looked to me with the Broncos on offense against the Chiefs. It looked like a nice double-A team with a bunch of prospects against the New York Yankees.
Man.
And that was, and you wound up with a blowout.
Yeah. You could take Mike Kliss away from the baseball beat, but you can't take the baseball beat out of Mike Kliss.
That's right. That's right.
It's 100%.
All right. 100%. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Mike Kliss. 9 News Bronco Insider presented by Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Okay. Well, interesting take on that first down. They're so predictable on first down, which probably explains their ranking in the NFL on first down. So when it comes to things that need to change on this offense, where does this rank? Get to that next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.